Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we gather before you today to hear your word, help us to understand that you are always with us. It is your will that we are here for, Lord. This is why you established us as a congregation and why you have led us, your people, to this point. We thank you, Lord, that we can look to you, the creator, the sustainer, the protector, and our provider. And Lord, help us to understand these things as we study your word today. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I wasn't sure if I would continue on with the story of Gideon or not. But as you can see from the sermon title, I am. John, who read for us last week, made me realize that we had only completed half of the story. We were stuck in some suspense. And there were a few points in Gideon's story that I feel are applicable for us today as a congregation. You remember that the Lord showed up to Gideon. Once the people finally realized that they needed the Lord to help them. Up to that point, they had been doing things their own way, and it wasn't working out. It's just like us at times in our personal life and in our congregational life. Sometimes we can get to the point where we think we can do it all on our own, and we end up finding out otherwise. But when we invite the Lord to take over, when we seek his guidance and when we seek his will, things will happen. I think we're starting to see those things around here. Some people have wondered why some things are moving along now. Why are there opportunities now that weren't there before? Well, I believe that it's because God was truly invited in, and I believe that our prayer vigil was a big part of that. Time and time again, we are told in the Bible that when people, God's people, humble themselves and pray, things will happen and things will change. That's what happened in the life of Israel and in the life of Gideon. And that's what we've began to see happen around here. The people of Israel in Gideon's day, they were under threat. And they faced the reality of being destroyed by their enemies. The people finally called out to God. God showed up. And God told Gideon, who thought that he couldn't do anything at all, that he was going to be used to do something amazing. He was going to deliver the people of Israel, not in his own strength, but in God's strength. Last week, we looked at how Gideon had to realize that he just couldn't do this on his own. He had to understand that with God, he could do all things who gave him strength. He had to learn to trust in God. And he had to sanctify himself by getting rid of any other god, small g, that was in his life. It was then that the Lord could use him to do some amazing things. And that's where we left it last week. Gideon had destroyed the family's idols. And now the people of the community wanted to kill Gideon. As John alluded to, we were left in that suspense. But we learned that the Lord protected Gideon's life. These people had idols in their lives, and they hated Gideon for destroying them. These idols were special to them. They gave them meaning. Even though these idols brought them further and further away from the one true God. And when they were gone, the people were angry. It's really the same when idols are destroyed today. People get upset. They get mad and they can cause trouble. Whether they know it or not, people, even Christians, can have idols in their lives. For some, it is their money. For some, it is their jobs or their relationships. For some, it is a lot of different things. And yes, even for some, it can be their church building. But God tells us time and time again that he is the only one that we should worship. We're not to keep our eyes fixed on money, on jobs, on relationships, or even buildings, but upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In Gideon's day, he was saved from being killed. Why? Because God had a plan for his life. Because God had heard the prayers of his people, and because God chose Gideon to be the vessel that he would use to bring the victory. Even when the voices of those around him said, "It's all over for you, Gideon," the Lord protected Gideon's life. I've been here pretty much 5 years now, and I've heard those voices in different ways. The building is unusable. There's no point in going on. The money is running out. You better just close the doors. But it looks to me like we're still here, and the doors aren't closed. Do you know why? It's because the Lord has a purpose for this congregation. And you are here, still here, because this congregation has engaged in the ministries that the Lord has brought you. Personally, I find it amusing when people look at church like a business, because that couldn't be further from the truth. We do have to be good stewards. But our CEO is no man or woman. Our CFO isn't a session member or a member of the board of managers. The one who is in charge of this place is Jesus himself, the creator of the universe. He is the head of the church. And he is the head of this church when we get rid of any idols and worship him and him alone. When people in the world or people in the church look at our situation with pessimism and with dismay, you and I can still hold our heads up with the knowledge that as long as we are taking care of God's business, doing the things that he has told us to do, then there will be a future for St. Paul's. But some of you may say that St. Paul's is crumbling. It has roof issues. It has structural issues. Okay, that's true. That's the reality of the building. But that's not St. Paul's. You see, St. Paul's is not a building. It never was, and it never will be, at least in God's eyes. And we should see things the way God does. St. Paul's didn't start in this building, and I don't believe that it will end here either. St. Paul's isn't a beautiful red brick building on the corner of Water and Murray Street, because St. Paul's isn't a place. St. Paul's is a people. It always has been, and it always will be. A group of believers who God established many years ago to serve him. And when we can see that truth and live by that truth, our whole perspective regarding our situation will change. The truth is that the Lord isn't interested in buildings. He's interested in people. Just look at the greatest building that was in Israel, the temple, the place that we are told that God himself resided. But Jesus prophesied that the temple would be destroyed. It was 40 years later, and God did nothing to stop it. To him, buildings are just that, buildings made of bricks and mortar. And today he doesn't live in buildings made by human hands. As Acts 17:24 tells us, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. So for those of you who think that buildings have special importance, the Lord says this in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and the Spirit of God lives within you? God protected Gideon because Gideon had a God-given purpose. And we see that time and time again in the Bible. When people have a God-given purpose, God will lead them and he will protect them. From worldly eyes and from worldly thinking, many times and many people believed that God's people were finished, that they were destroyed, that they had no future. But God had other plans for his people, and he protected them, and the same is true for us today. We are the new Israel. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And as long as we have a purpose, a God-given purpose, we will have a future. It's up to all of us whether we will embrace that or not. It's up to us what we really want to focus on, the physical or the spiritual. And that decision will truly decide the future of this congregation. The last 5 years since I've been here hasn't been really easy for anybody. Don't get me wrong, there's been many good times, some very good times. But there's also been many problems that sometimes seem to just pile on top of each other. These problems, they threatened to close us down, threatened to separate us, and threatened to destroy us. Some of those problems came from the natural world. Others came from other people. Some problems came from people outside the church, and some came from people within the church. We have gone through a lot together. There was so much against us. But despite that, we're still here. And not only that, in the last 5 years, we don't just have a ministry in this building. We have ministries in other countries around the world. We have a ministry to the refugees who have settled right here in Peterborough. We serve the homeless and we serve the hungry, and we're doing it all for God's glory. You have a purpose. And as long as you focus on that, you will have a future. As Cheryl mentioned the other night as she led the devotion at session, and I quote a little loosely but hopefully concisely, in the past few years we've had our share of heartache, hard work, and prayer. But we are still here. Why? Because of the Lord. The truth is that God knows what He's doing. After all, He is the head of this church. And He is the one who created the universe and everything in it. So the question for all of us here this morning is, are we willing to walk with Him into the future that He has for us as the true St. Paul's? That's something all of us have to decide for ourselves. I believe that the Lord does have a purpose for St. Paul's. Not the building of St. Paul's, but for you, the people, who are the true St. Paul's. God protected Gideon, and He will also protect you when you stick to your calling as a congregation. But not only that, God will also provide for you. He will not only provide the physical resources, but He will also provide the victory as long as you keep your eyes on Him. God provided for Gideon. He prepared Gideon. But Gideon had to do some things as well. Some things that just don't make any sense to the human mind. The battle was coming. Gideon and his army had to face their fear. They had to step out of the proverbial boat. They had to take the next step. A step that they had to take if they wanted to see the victory. Just like you have to do in the coming days, weeks and months. All of this was made even harder because God provided for Gideon and the Hebrew people by taking some things away. I told you that it just doesn't make any sense to the human mind. You would think that the Lord would say, here are 500,000 fighting men, Gideon. Here are the latest military equipped camels. Because camels were the weapons of war in those days. But God didn't do that. Instead, He took all those things away. Things that they had put their hope in. Things that they had thought made them strong. But things that were getting in the way of God getting the glory. Do you see the correlation with us? God gave Gideon a mission. He has given us a mission. God protected Gideon. God has protected us. And instead of giving Gideon everything that he thought he would need in the natural realm, He took those things away. Just like we have lost some things over the last few years. I think that a lot of our attitudes would be different if we had 1,000 people in our congregation. A lot of us would feel better if our old sanctuary was fit to worship in. And I know that there are a lot of people who would be a lot more comfortable if we had $5 million in the bank account. We don't have that. That much is pretty obvious, right? But the question is, Do we need that to do what God wants us to do? In the world's eyes, in religious people's eyes, the answer is yes, absolutely we do. Read the paper, listen to those who walk by sight and not by faith, and they'll tell you it's all over. But is that what God is saying to us? Or has He brought us to a place where we have to rely not on our money, not on our numbers, not on our building, but on Him and Him alone? I want you to really think about that. Is the Lord saying that we need to rely on His provision and not the provision of the world? Is the Lord saying that all we need is Him to get through the difficult times, to not only survive, but to thrive? That's what He did with Gideon. He showed Gideon that his strength was not in numbers or physical resources. His strength, his only true strength, was in God. Are we prepared to accept that today? I know this way of doing things makes no sense in the business world or to our human minds. But if we have a personal relationship with Jesus, it should make some sense within our hearts. God said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And many times God cannot and will not move mightily in our midst until we are weak, or at least until we realize our weakness and look to Him for our strength. It makes no sense to the world's way of thinking, but that is how God works in His kingdom and in His church. And the only way that we can work with Him is to depend on Him, to be faithful to Him, to serve Him, to pay our tithes so we can pay our bills, looking to Him for guidance and strength, working in the ministries that He has brought to us, and watching Him bring us the victory. Look at Gideon. He started off with 33,000 soldiers. Things look great in the natural. With 33,000 fighting men, they might even win the battle. But the Lord said, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength." Okay? So now things don't look so good in the natural. What is God planning to do? He was planning to take their resources and their strength away so that they couldn't boast that they had done it themselves. He said to Gideon, "Whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home." In other words, those who don't trust in me, those who are led by fear instead of faith, they can go home. And they did go home. They were down in numbers. Now their chances of survival, their chance of getting the victory, of getting to where the Lord wanted them to be, was dwindling and dwindling fast. We are told that 22,000 warriors left. Around two-thirds of their group left and went home. Their membership roll was decreasing quickly. By now, I'm sure that there were some negative voices in the land of Israel. What's going on? How can we ever get the victory with only 10,000 soldiers? It doesn't look good, they must have said. But the Lord wasn't finished yet. The Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will determine who will go with you and who will not." By now, I'm sure that the negative voices were now the voices of fear. How can God be with us? How can He give us the victory? We have almost nothing and no one left. How can we continue? How can we carry on? How on earth can we keep from throwing in the towel and calling it quits? Sound familiar? When it was all over, there were only 300 fighting men led to fight the whole army of Midian. And those who did not have the eyes of faith must have thought and must have said, "It's all over now." But this is not only a story. This is a reality. A reality that you and I are facing today. God has called us. God has given us a mission. God has taken things away from us, but we know in our hearts, at least some of us do, that God has a purpose for us, and that God wants us to have a victory in the life of our congregation. And very often that victory only comes when we realize that it is God who is going to fight our battles. It is God and not ourselves who will lead us to the victory. He does that to show us that He is God, and only He is worthy of receiving the glory. This morning, as we face the future, as we plan for the future, a future in which we need a breakthrough and a victory, I believe that we need to really focus on the story of Gideon and learn how God works through His people. What we see with our natural eyes has made no sense. And when we look at the resources that are left, our situation from a worldly perspective, we can get to the point where we think that it only makes sense to throw in the towel and call it quits. But is that what God wants? I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. It's because God has given you a mission and He has given you a purpose. He has given you work to do. He has brought that work to you miraculously. And you are serving the Lord in those areas. God has also provided what you have needed to continue those ministries. And He has done so miraculously. None of us here today can deny God's provision and God's protection over the past few years. So this morning, as you go into the business meeting of this church, let's realize that we aren't running a business. We are stewards of what belongs to God. He is the one who has protected you and provided for you when things looked like they were all over. And He will continue to do so as you seek Him, as you pray to Him, as you submit to Him and are willing to listen to His voice, and as you realize that you, the people who are here today, are the true St. Paul's, that God has called to be a part of His mission to the world. So look to the future with faith. Look to the future with hope, because you serve the God of the miraculous, the God who has led you and who will continue to lead you as you look to Him and are willing to give Him the glory for the great things that He will do in you